This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are excited to have you guys with us. Don, you're
here. I'm here, yeah.
Ava's here.
I'm here.
Eric, we're here. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we are excited to have you guys with us. As I said, lots of cool stuff coming up. We're going to talk about some potentially good news about invasive carp that infects just about everywhere, northern tier of states, for sure, in the rivers. Big thing there. And yeah, just some cool stories today. I think it's going to be kind of nice. So I think you need to stick around because we are going to be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Donald.
Hello.
Ava.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, the weather's turned for us a little bit, so that it's getting a little nicer out. Hopefully it'll stay that way for a bit. I don't know, in our area anyway, I think there's some snow coming in, but I think you go east of here, it's going to be pretty nice.
Yeah, it's weird how this we get waves of warm, cold, and it's that's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're going to get some snow in the center part of the Midwest. Not a ton, but up to 12
inches. For the most part, I think it's coming through South Dakota. Some in North Dakota, South Dakota, and it's clipping the southwestern parts or halves.
Probably through Chicago and the lower part
of
Michigan.
No, I don't even think it gets that far.
No, I mean, and it moves.
Yeah, and then it'll move east, yeah.
Yeah, but some winter weather coming, which is always fun. I know when we have talked before, people wherever you're at, driving sleds, whether it's the Great Lakes or not, getting stuck on a Great Lake is not a good thing. Green Bay.
Yeah, I know Green Bay freezes over, but do the other Great Lakes, do they freeze over?
Yeah. There's people that got stranded
on Green Bay. Yep.
That was entertaining.
Yeah, here about a week or 10 days ago. A
buddy of mine, a big listener in the show, Dan, out at Green Bay, sent me the article. So that was 30-some people had to get rescued. And when you get stuck out there, they don't take your stuff with you.
No.
You leave it. No. So your ATVs, everything else, you're just going, your body is all that's going to go with you. So be aware, if that chunk of ice breaks off, you're going to have to try and go get it time.
I did hear that they did retrieve everything.
They were able to get everything?
Right. And there was, I don't know who had the
land hole
or the equipment to do that, but it was only 2,000 feet? It was $100 a trip, but that'd be worth it if you're going to get your four-wheeler or probably all your stuff.
I would think it would be.
Yeah.
Last time I checked. But, yeah, so it really comes out to be watch what's going on with the variable conditions and the wind that's going on, especially if you're out in the Great Lakes and doing anything like that. I know Erie is a big one. People fish out there, and they take chances, which I laugh at. A lot of my guide friends are out on in that area, and they just kind of chuckle when they watch these people walking out in the ice, and then they get stranded. So it's just a sad deal. The other thing you have to watch out for, and you don't expect it, but ice heaves, that's another one.
Yeah.
And then lastly, you think you're going to follow your same track back on and maybe the conditions are less than optimal because you get a lot of fog in those situations, and people drive right off the edge of the ice because they're following their GPS plot, and the ice has broken free, and you drive right in. And that's where people get in real trouble, shall we say. So really important to watch those things, as well as, last but not least, ice bridges and ice heaves. Anytime you're out there at night, you could be going along just great. It was great during the afternoon, and you're tooling along. Well, your visibility, if you're going 50 across the ice, is not necessarily far enough out where you can go at that speed and stop.
Right.
So big problem. So be aware of those things. And I know the people are so anxious right now to get out there and get some sledding in and wherever it might be. And right now, ice is the only thing you can really – a lot of areas have snow in that area. So that's kind
of – I just talked to someone today. They're going to be heading up north to do a 4-day snowmobile run.
UP, I believe they got some snow, and of course up Birch Hill way. That's a big lake effect area. It's about a 300-foot rise, and when you come to the top of it, it go a quarter mile down, and that thing just gets absolutely buried up there.
Yep.
A couple of my buddies out in Houghton Lake, same thing. Good resorts up there that they've got some solid snow and great trails. So a lot of fun up there.
Just be safe.
Sure. Yeah. Spent a lot of time up in Hurley and that area, Indian Head and
up on the UP.
Yeah. Up to the UP, eh?
Yep.
A pretty cool story I teased at the beginning. Potentially very good news about the current status of invasive carp. And this affects everyone, including, it doesn't matter where you're at in the Midwest, including, it doesn't have to be Midwest. It could be central part of the U.S. It is a truly bad, bad deal.
Well, didn't they originally get released into the Mississippi and then they were up all the tributaries?
Yeah, well, they were in ponds that they would eat weeds from tilapia ponds. They were brought in to do that. But the smart people didn't realize that the river can flood.
Right.
Can't fix.
But, originally it came
that's
up
where
from
it was,
the southern part of the Mississippi.
They were in ponds. They were in ponds.
Started in ponds and they flooded
into the
Mississippi.
And
then
they got flooded into the Mississippi and then they
and
made
now
the
they're
way.
Going up.
They're going in Illinois River. That's a big deal there. And that's the question. And really the concern is if it makes it to Michigan, Lake Michigan. So the Wisconsin DNR, in partnership with neighboring states and federal agencies, is going to take further action to reduce the number of invasive carp in the Mississippi River, which feeds into everything. Additional actions include increasing commercial netting operations, tracking tagged carp, and the ongoing use of innovative modified unified method, or MUM. MUM's the word, right, Don?
MUM.
A tactic that involves driving fish toward a series of smaller and smaller areas that are netted out of the water.
How do they do that?
Well, they drive them down into like a river that or a creek.
A tributary.
And then they push them down there and then they net them out.
Okay.
So that's a pretty cool deal. It's efforts that follow a successful second invasive carp removal effort this year in Pool 8 near La Crosse, and where the DNR and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Wild Rivers Conservancy, and the National Park Service sampled more than 100,000 pounds of fish. Although the seven silver carp were observed jumping out of sampling areas, no invasive carp were captured during the October removal using MUM. 34 silver carp were captured during the first MUM operation in the same locations in April. It's potentially very good news about the current status of the invasive carp in that area. That was a big growth area down there.
Right.
Invasive carp capture decreased sharply. We're hoping that indicates a decrease in the actual invasive carp population. In addition, the October invasive carp removal produced hundreds of native fish in each of five locations along the river. The captures included a healthy number of diverse native fish, including numerous paddlefish and sturgeon, which you don't catch. You don't normally catch those. While native fish tend to hide and avoid being driven into nets during the MUM tactic, some do end up being netted. The subset of those fish are measured, weighed, and then released back into the river. Invasive carp are removed, further analyzed, and invasive carp compete, obviously, big time with the native food source and habitat and will and negatively impact any of the waters that they infest.
Do they typically forage on weeds in the bottom?
No. Plankton is what they focus on. So,
okay.
And then it kills the bait fish because they don't have anything left. So, yeah. All right, hang tight. We're going to be back for more Valley Outdoors right after this.